Today's shiur is Daf Chaf Hei. We will begin on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Amar Rav Huna. Again, we are discussing the halakhas, how somebody could say Kriyat Shema when he's not completely dressed. Hoysa Talisa Chagurulay Amasnaf. If one has a cloak around his hips, and he's covered from his hips down, Mutar Likras Krishma. He may say Krishma. Because we have here the bottom part of his body, his erva is covered. Tanya Nam Hachi, we learned in Ebraisa the same thing. Hoysa Talisai Shabeged, if he has a coat made out of material, Shalor out of leather, Shasak out of cloth, out of sackcloth, chagura, masnaf, around his hips, muta likris krishma, the person may say krishma in such a state. Avla tfila, but in order to daven, he should not daven, achi yichases libay, until he has something covering his heart as well. Because as we explained many times, davening is when a person is standing before Hashem, before the King of Kings, and therefore it has to be said properly, completely properly dressed. However, Shema, which is not a direct communication with Hashem, as Rashi explains, therefore, with the Eved, somebody could say Shema even if he's not dressed 100% as he really should be. If somebody forgot himself and he went into the bathroom wearing tefillin in order to use the bathroom, he should put his hands over the tefillin until he finishes using the bathroom. Ask the Gemara, should he remain in the bathroom for the entire duration that he's using it with the tefillin on his head? Until he completes his first discharge. Ask the Gemara, the Lifsik La'alta Lekum, why don't we tell him that he should interrupt immediately and get up and stop using the bathroom while wearing tefillin? Answers the Gemara, Mishum Rav Shimon Gamliel, because of what Rav Shimon Gamliel taught us. The Tanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Omer HaChayzer, a forced back discharge, maybe it's Edom Ledvei Droikim, brings a person, Rashi explains, to some sort of a disease that causes his stomach to swell. Silan Achayzer, if a person is in the middle of urinating and he forces it back, maybe it's Edom Ledvei Droikim, it brings him to suffer from jaundice. So in order that we should not come to this disease, let him finish his first discharge and then leave the bathroom and say Krishna. Itma. We learned. Say Al Basaray. If somebody has tzaya on his flesh, a yada menachsa beis hakisse, or his hand is resting inside the airspace of the bathroom, Rav Huna amar mutar likras krishma, Rav Huna says he could say krishma in such a state, Rav Chisda amar us likras krishma, Rav Chisda says he's not allowed to say krishma in such a state. Amar Ava, what is my tamar to Rav Huna? What is the reason for Rav Huna that he's makel? Because it says in the pasuk, "Kol haneshama talka," all that breathes should praise Hashem. Our Gemara is saying that Rav Huna holds that the parts of the body that have to be clean are the breathing organs, nose and mouth. Other limbs we're not as makbid on. Rav Chisda amar, also like Krishma, a person is not allowed to say Krishma. My Tamid Rav Chisda, what is the reason for Rav Chisda? It says, Kol atzmoisai tomarna Hashem mikomaycha, all of my limbs exclaim, who is like you Hashem? And therefore, no part of the body may have tzaya, or be connected to tzaya when he davens. And the halacha is that l'chatchila, a person should be careful that his body should be completely should not have any tzaya on it in any place when he's saying Krishma, and certainly when he's davening. Even in the rectal area, a person should be careful that it should be completely clean when a person davens. However, the Paisim say that if that area is not completely clean to the degree that when he's sitting it's not noticeable that there's some leftover tzaya there, he would not have to repeat Shema. Itma. We learned. Reich Rashi Eshlei Iker. A foul odor that emanates from a tangible source. Afuna Amma. Makrit Amba Amish Kari Krishma. One should distance himself to our Amish from the source and then say Shema. And according to Afuna, he could do this is even if where he's standing, some of that odor still reaches him. As long as he's Dalet Amos away from the source of the odor, it's enough. Rav Chizda says no. Makak Abba Amos, Mokim Shapasakareya. First he has to distance himself from where the odor stops. And from there he should walk another 4 Amos, and there, Kari Krishna. Tanya Kavosei to Rav Chizda. So the Gemara brings a brisa that's a proof to Rav Chizda. It says in a brisa, "Vayokar Adam Krishma." A person should not say Krishma in an unclean situation, such as like neged tzayus Adam, not when he's facing tzay of a human being, like neged tzayus klovim, not next to the tzay of a dog, like neged tzayus chazerim, nor opposite the tzay of a hog. Because the odor that emanates from dogs and pigs is more offensive than of other animals. So therefore, even though normally other animals may emit an unpleasant odor, Rav Chizda will say it's sufficient to distance himself no further than where the odor dissipates, but you don't have to go 4 amos further. But these two animals have a specific bad odor, and therefore you have to distance yourself dalet amos from where the odor stops. Like neged ashpa, nor should a person of like neged soya sargolim, a person shouldn't say shema opposite chicken soya. And Tosus explains that we're not talking necessarily about a chicken that's walking around the house. We're talking about like a chicken coop where there's a lot of chickens and a lot of soya that have a particularly bad smell. Like in neged ashpan, not next to a garbage dump, that has a bad odor. But if any of the above mentioned items were situated in a place higher 10 tefachim from where he is, or 10 tefachim below where he is, he could stand on the side, the Kari Krishma, and he could say Krishma. Then lav, if it's not in an area where it's 10 tefachim above or below him, Machik Malay Enov, he has to distance himself from where he can no longer see it. This is all, and then he could say the Shema. The reason he has to distance himself from where he can no longer see it, explained the Rishonim, is because the Pasuk says, the Hoya Machanecha Kaddish, your camp should be holy, and if you could see it, anywhere that you could still see remains within your camp, and a person has to be careful that his camp should be holy and should remove himself from such a place. Now we continue. Reich Rashi actually occur, and in the case where there's a bad odor with something that has a tangible source, is the halacha machik. Ab amos makom reich. A person has to distance himself 4 amos from where the odor stops, the Kari Krishma, and then say Krishma. So this statement clearly is in agreement with what Rav Chizda said previously. Amar Rava, less Hilchasa Kihamas Nisa. The halacha says Rava is not like this Braisa, El Kahada Tanya. The halacha is like the following Braisa. Mayik Adam Krishma, a person should not say Shema in an unclean situation. Loi Keneged Soyos Adam, not facing human Soyav, Loi Keneged Soyos Chazerim, not hog tzaya, v'loy k'neged tzayas k'lovim, not dog tzaya. This man, however, he says that when a dog and pig tzaya problematic, this man shenos and anos l'toychon, when somebody put hides in them for tanning purposes, because that causes that they should get a very bad smell. However, if no hides were placed in them, then one could say shema, because in the absence of hide, the soya does not have such a terrible smell. Continues the Gemara. Till now we spoke about a soya shiyesh layikar, a soya that has a tangible source. Ask Rav Ashi, Bar Menei They asked Rav Ashi, Reich Rashi Engle Yikamahu, what's going to be the halacha when there's a bad smell that does not have a tangible source? For instance, if somebody passed gas. Amuhu. So Rav Ashi answered, Asu Chazu, come see, Hani Tzifid Beirav, the mats that are put out in the yeshiva and the Beis Medrash. The meaning in those times were that the yeshiva bachrim, the yeshiva students, actually spent all of the time in the Beis Medrash, including the time that they slept. When they got tired, there were mats in the Beis Medrash and they lay down. Now, when somebody is sleeping, it's very frequent that he passes gas. And yet, Hanigani, that these people are sleeping who are presumably passing gas, Hanigarsi, and other people are learning. So it's obvious that somebody is allowed to learn in the Beis Medrash where there's this smell, because it has no tangible source. However, qualifies the Gemara this halacha. Hanimili the Divrei Torah. This was only said regarding learning. Avagir Krishma, but when it comes to saying Shema Loi, one may not say Shema with such a smell. And continues the Gemara, the Divrei Torah Nami, even as far as learning is concerned, Loi Amarin El Bechavrei. It's only somebody else's smell that has no tangible source that someone may continue learning. Of the day, his own learning, Loi, there is no problem. And interesting, Taisa says that bathrooms, I guess the bathrooms in our times, where the tsoya does not remain there, but right away is flushed away, has the halacha of a reach rash, even if there's a bad smell coming out of the bathroom, it would have the halacha of a reach rash, as we just discussed. Itma, continues the Gemara. Tsoya averis, if tsoya is passing, Abaya Amar Mutar L'Kris Krishma, one is permitted to say Shema as the tsoya passes by. Rav Amar Asur L'Kris Krishma, it's prohibited to say Krishma as the tsoya passes by. Amar Abaya, so Abaya said, Mena Aminala, from where do I say Mahalacha? That's not, because it's something that we learned in the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah. Now this Mishnah is talking about a Mitzayra. We know that if somebody has a tumas, if there's a mess, if there's a dead body in the house, so anything in the house or anything that's under the same roof as the dead body, there is tumah. A mitzayra who has one of the negaim, one of the skin afflictions mentioned in the Torah, is also somebody who's considered tameh, and he also conveys tumah by being under the same roof as somebody else. That means if a Torah person is under the same roof as a Mitzayr, he is Mekabel Tumah. However, there is one difference between the Tumah of a Mitzayr, the Tumas oil of a Mitzayr, and the Tumas oil of a mess. The Tumas oil of a Mitzayr is only when the Mitzayr is stationary. And that's exactly the way the halacha that we're going to learn in the Mishnah. However, the tumah oil of a mess is metama even when it's being carried under the roof. So we learned. If a mitzayra, the tumah here is a mitzayra, is standing under a tree, the tar over, and a tar person passes by, tumah. The person walking by becomes tumah. However, tar or metakas ilan, if a tar person standing under a tree with branches sticking out, the tamei over, and a tamei walks by, tar. The tar, the good person, remains tar. Vim amad, however, if the tamei, the good person, the mitzayra, stops and stands under the tree, then tamei. He makes the person who was previously tar, now tamei. And the same halacha applies to a stone from a house that became contaminated with tsaras, because as we know, not only can humans become tamei with tsaras, even houses and the stones of the houses can become tamei, and the same halacha applies. So we see that a moving person or object is not considered as being present in any location. That's why a moving mitzayra can't give off tumah. The same halacha, a moving person does not have a problem reading, saying Shema as he passes by tzoya. The Rava Amar, Rava says, a proof cannot be brought from there. Why? Hasam by mitzras b'kriyas l'tal milsa. It depends on the permanence of the mitzayra, because that's exactly what the pasuk says. Because it says in the pasuk, "D'ksev b'odah yeshiv mechutz l'machmas shavai." He should live in isolation. His dwelling should be outside the camp. And that means we look at where his dwelling is. Now, obviously, a person is not considered in dwelling only in a place where he's standing, not if he's just walking or moving by. However, hacha, as far as the inyan of a clean place for krishma, v'hoye machnecha kadosh amrachmana, the Torah says that it depends on your camping holy, v'leka, and if there's a smell, there's tzaya there, it's not a holy place, and shema should not be said in such a place. Amra papa, says the papa, pi chazir, the mouth of a hog, tzaya verestami, has the halacha like passing tzaya. Ask the Gemara Peshitta, it's obvious, because we know that pigs are always dirty and have dirty things in their mouth. Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, we're talking a situation, Afagav the Salt Menara, even though the hog has just walked out of a river, and he may be considered clean because he became washed off in the river, the halacha is that it's not considered clean. Amar Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda said, Safak Tzaya, if there's a Safak, if there's a question, if there's Tzaya in a place, Asura. It's prohibited to say Shema in such a place. What does a Safak mean? The Safak means like this, you're in a place and there's a bad smell. So the Miri says it means you have a Safak if that smell is coming out from Tzaya or not. Or you could have a suffix. What is that? You have an object in front of you, and you don't know what is that object. Is that object tzaya, or is it something else? Ikad amri, amr Rav Yehuda, suffix tzaya bayis. If there's a suffix in the house, if there's tzaya, it's mutaris, it's mutter to say krishma, because tzaya is usually not kept in the house. However, the Rabbi Yonah says, if there are infants in the house who walk around with dirty diapers, so then even in a house, it's considered as if there is tzoya in the house. The ashpa, however, if there's a suffix, if there's tzoya in a garbage dump, in a trash heap, where it's more likely to have tzoya, asura, then it's also to say krishma in such a place. Suffix may reglaim. However, when it comes to my reglayim, I feel by ashpa, by urine, I feel by ashpa nam maturin, it even by a garbage dump where there's a suffix of urine, still mutter is permitted to say krishma. So the Gemara explains why is there a difference between urine and tzaya, because says the Gemara, suffix kad Rav Huna, because he agrees with what Rav Hamnuna said. The Amr of Hamnuna, but also Torah, the Torah did not prohibit saying Shema, El Kenegad Amr Bilvad. Midiraisa, the only time it's prohibited to say Shema by urine is as the urine is streaming out. Because Rabbi Yonason. And this really follows a teaching of Rabbi Yonason. The Rabbi Yonason Rami. Rabbi Yonason asked a question. He has two psukim that seemingly contradict each other. Siv, it says in one pasuk, v'yatil chamchutzam machanecha, you should have a place outside the camp, v'yitzasa shamachutz, and that's where you should go to relieve yourself. V'ksiv, and yet there's another pasuk, v'yosatilcha, you should have a shovel, v'chitzisa atzeisecha, where you will cover what you expel from your body. So how do we reconcile these two psukim? First pasuk doesn't mention anything about covering the waste. And the second pasuk says you have to cover it. Okay, so how do we reconcile it? Kambik doilim. The first pasuk is talking about soya, and when we're talking about soya, they have to be covered. Kambik tanim. The second pasuk is only talking about urine, and we're saying that urine doesn't need to be covered. Alma tana. Tana, when it comes to urine, lo yasa tayra, the tayra did not prohibit saying shema el kneged amr bavad, only facing the stream of urine itself. So what do we see from here? Hanafal ara, once the urine is on the ground, it's already been expelled from the body, shari. Really, from midaraisa, it should be mutter to say krishma. It is mutter to say Krishna b'deraisa. It's Rabbanan who the gazerba. It's Rabbanan who made a special gzeira prohibiting one to do so. The chi gazer Rabbanan. And when did Chazal make an isser of saying Krishna facing urine? Only b'vadon, when you're certain that there is the tsoya there. Abusfekon, but if there's a sophic of this tsoya there, like gazru, Chazal didn't make a gzeira because we follow the general rule which we have throughout halacha of soft rabbanon lekula. Whenever there's a doubt and it involves a rabbinic rule, here saying krishma after the urine left the body is only midrabbanon lekula, we go leniently. However, we just said when there certainly is tzoya, certainly is urine, it's prohibited to say shema. Ask Gemar Bavadon at Kama, how long does the urine remain on the ground and still prevent somebody from saying the Shema? Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul, calls Mashma Tchichim. As long as they're moist, that they're moist than anything touching it. V'kein Amar Rav Abachana Amar Rav Yoichron, calls Mashma Tchichim. As long as they remain damp enough to moisten something else, they prohibit somebody from saying Shema in that area. The Kain Omer Ula calls man Shema Tchichim, as long as the same halak, as long as they remain damp to that degree. Geneva, Geneva is the name of a person. Mishmei the Rav Amar calls man Shema Shuman Nikr. The urine prevents somebody from saying Shema or davening as long as it's discernible. Omer Rav Yosef, Sharle Mar Legneva. May our Master, may Hashem forgive Geneva, because Geneva said something in the name of Rav, as if Rav said that the halacha depends on Rishumam Nikr, and I'll show you Rav did not really say this. Because Hashta Tzoya, what about Tzoya? Which we just finished learning is more seriously usher than urine. On Rav Yudam Rav, Kimin Shukama Paneha, once it became crusted, it's mutter. Once the tzoya gets such a crusty form, it's mutter. Meiraglayim, mutter. Certainly, as soon as they urine, as soon as it loses its ability to moisten, it should be mutter to daven there, even though there is still some sign of there once being the urine. Amalei Abaye. So the Mara defends, Abaye defends Geneva's position. My chaz is to Samcha Ha, why are you relying on what this person said in the name of Rav? Smaicha Ha, why aren't you relying on another statement that was made by Rav? Dam Rav Rahuna Amar Rav, Tsoya fil techers asura. Tsoya, even if it's brittle, like earthenware, it's still prohibited to say Shema or Davin next to it. Here we see the Rav is more machmer until very late in the drawing period. So that could be that Geneva will also hold, that Rav held that urine is usher until very, very little is left of it. Nothing, actually. Ask the Gemara of Hechi Damit Tzoyik Kicheres, what is the definition of that it's like earthenware? Am Rav Abachan, Am Rav Yochanan, Kozman Shazarka, Veinin Nechrefes. As long as one can throw it and it doesn't crumble into little pieces. And the Rishonim explained, even if it crumble into big pieces, that's not enough. It has to crumble into little pieces. Bikid Amrei, what is the shear? Kol man shegoy levein in achreches. As long as one can roll it and it doesn't crumble, that has so little moisture in it. And the Rishonim explains that this shear is even more chumerdig than the first shear of Kozman Shazarkaven in Nechrechas. Om Ravina, having a Kaem Nechamed Rav Yifti Medifta, I was once standing in front of Yirmiya of Difti, Chazat Tsoya, and he saw Tsoya in the vicinity. Omali, and he told me, Ayin, examine it, Ikama Vanelloi, if it crossed it or not. Ikadamri, another version of what Rav Yehuda said, Omalei, Ayin, Imaploi, see whether it developed cracks. If it developed cracks, that is a proof that it no longer has the halacha of tzoya. My havala. So the Gemara wants to know a final conclusion. What is the halacha l'maisa? When the urine and excrement aser and when don't they? Itmar. So we learn tzoya kecheres. If you have tzoya which is as hard as earthenware, a meima amar asura. A meima says it's prohibited to daven in its present. Mazutra amar mataris. Mazutra says it's permitted. Amar Rava. So Rava says Hilchasa. Dalochis. Tzayka Cheres. Asura. When a Tzayka is as hard as earthenware, it's us to say Krishma. Umeriglayim. And Meriglayim Kozman Shemat Pichim. As long as they moisten, then they answer. But if it's less than moisture, then it's mutter. Why is, and Rava is lenient when it comes to urine, because as we learned earlier, urine is only awesome at Rabban. Nesai. Ask the Gemara a question from the following Braisa. It says in a Braisa, Meiriglayim, Kozman Shemat Pichim, as long as they moisten anything that touches it, Asurim, Drasa. Nivlu, a Yavshu. However, they got absorbed, or they dried out, they evaporated, Matarim. Nailaf, seemingly, what's the definition of Nivlu? What are the circumstances of absorption? Demidiyavshu, the same as evaporation. Mavyavshu, now it's something evaporated. Eirishumam Nikr, there is no sign, there is nothing left of it. Seemingly, as Nivlu. Nivlu should mean Eirishumam Nikr, that there's no sign. And if there is a sign, it would still be Asr. Harishumam Nikr. So we see here, as long as it's discernible, it's Asr. Afal Gahav Deimet Pichim, even though they no longer give off moisture. Ask the Gemara or Tameich. If you're trying to bring a proof from this Braisa, let's go to the beginning of the Braisa. Emesh Reisha. What does it say at the beginning of the Braisa? Kol Zman Shemat Pichim Hud Asr. As long as they give off moisture, that's when urine is Asr. What do we deduce from that? Harishumam Nikr, if they're discernible, even the, it's Shari, it's the Mutter. So we have a problem with this Braisa. From the beginning of the Braisa, it seems that the shear is moisture. From the end of the Braisa, it seems that the shear is that it should be discernible. El Mahal Lekl Mishmina, since this Braisa can't be interpreted accurately, because we don't know which part of the Braisa we should deduce from, there is no definitive proof from this Braisa. Laimik Tanai. So the Gemara says, perhaps the shear of when urine answers from one from saying Shema should be a Machlok Tanai. It says, Klish Nishbukum Meiriglayim, a vessel from which urine was spilled. Also liquorous Krishma Kenegdai, it's prohibited to say Krishma opposite. What about urine that was spilled out? Nivlu, if they were absorbed into the ground, mutter. It's permitted to say Shema. Why nivlu? But if they're not absorbed, also. Rabbi Yossi said, also. As long as they give us moisture. Ask the Gemara. The Gemara begins to analyze this price. My nivlu or my loy nivlu to come Tanakama. The Tanakama spoke about absorption. What does he mean? Ilaim nivlu de ema pichin. If you say that a nivlu absorb means that they never live don't give off moisture. Loy nivlu, and that not absorb means that they met pichin, that they still give off moisture. For us, Rabbi Yossi Lameima, and what does Rabbi Yossi say? Kol zman shemet pichin mud asr. As long as it gives off moisture, it's asr. Harishumen Nikr Shari. But if it's discernible, but not anymore giving off moisture, it's permitted to say Shema. Ask the Gemara, then what's the difference between Rabbi Yossi and Tanakama? Hai and Tanakama. They both say that the shear depends on giving off moisture. Ela, Nivlu, absorb, Nivlu must mean the Harishumen Nikr, that it's not discernible. Loi Nivlu, not absorb means Rishumam Nikr, that it is discernible. And the Tanakhama holds, as long as it's discernible, it's also to say Krishma in front of that urine. Vasa Rabbi Yossi Lameima, and Rabbi Yossi comes to comment on that, no, I'm more makel, and I hold Kol Zman Shemat Pichim Hud Asr. As long as they give us moisture, it's Asr. Harishumam Nikr, if there is no longer any moisture, even though it's discernible, Shari. So seemingly the Shaila of Rishumam Nikr or Mat Pichim is Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Tanakhama. Says the Gemara Loi. We do not have to explain the Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Tanakam that way. Because everybody will hold the Kuli Almas, Kozman Shemet Pichim Hud Asr. Everybody will hold that moisture is Asr, Harishumen Nukim Shari, and discernible is Mutter. What is the Shaila? And now we go to Chaf Hei on the base. V'hocha v'taseich amenas latfiach ikvenayu. Here the Shaila is, what is considered moisture? Doesn't have to be so moist and that it can moist something else. The Tanakhama holds that it's only usur when it gives off enough moisture to make something else wet. But if not, even though it's moist, it's not considered a problem. And Rabbi Yossi is machmer, and he holds as long as there's some dampness there, even though it doesn't give off dampness to something else, it's mutter. So we learned in the Mishnah, Yard litpol, if somebody went into a mikveh in yochel alois, if he could get out of the mikveh before the netzachama, before sunrise, he should do so. But if he and say shema after he comes out of the mikveh and dresses himself, however, if he cannot, he should cover himself in the mikveh and say shema. Ask the Gemara, lay matanis stomach Rebbe Elazar. So we say that our Mishnah agrees with Rebbe Elazar, dama netzachama, because we learned earlier on daf tes a machloikis till when Krishna could say, could be said. Rabbi Eliezer said it could be said until the next, and Rabbi Yeshua said it could be said until third hour of the day. Since our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, because it's presented anonymously, says that you have to say the Shema by the Netz, and if necessary, say it even within the mikveh, it seems to be a proof that you have to say Shema by the Netz and no longer. Answers the Gemara, I feel a time Rabbi Shua. Our Mishnah could be explained even according to Rabbi Shua. The Dumuk Vasikin, our Mishnah speaking about the Vasikin, we explained that the Vasikin are devout people. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Vasikin are Yigrim, my son, Netzachama, the devout people would say the Shema by the Netzachama. And the Rishonim say that this halacha does not necessarily apply only to a person who davens and says Shema every day Kavasikin. Even a person who just today is davening Kavasikin, today he had the opportunity, and other days he does not, he still should take the advantage of this day. Now we continue the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah of Mlav, if he doesn't have time to leave the mikveh, discuss my mind, the yikri, he should cover himself in the water and say the Shema. Ask the Gemara, Vari Libre Rois Arva. The halacha is like this. True, the water is covering the erva, but there's another requirement that there has to be a physical separation between the heart and the erva. And here there is no separation because he's standing in the mikveh with no clothing. Amar Rav Elazar, V'itam Rav Acha bar Abba Rav Acha Mishum Rabbeinu, B'mayim Achurim Shenu. We're talking in a mikveh that's cloudy water. So since the water is cloudy, therefore it's considered like a separation. The domakar is smachta because they have a loch like thick ground, and therefore it's not considered libe roy shalayira libe rasa. Ten rabbanon. The rabbanon say, maim slulim. If somebody is in clear water, yesh ben at savare v'yikra v'kayre. He should sit in them up to his neck, and that's how he should say the shema. Others say that he should clad up the water. In their days, the bottom of the mikveh weren't tiles, it was earth. He should kick up the earth and make it cloudy. The Tanakama, ask the Gemara, according to Tanakama, he's standing in clear water. True, his head is outside the mikveh. We have a problem of a relibre rois erva, that there's no separation between his heart and the erva. Answers the Gemara, that this Tanakam is going according to the man that holds Kesavar Libay Rois Erva Mutter. The Libay Rois Erva is not a problem. Ask the Gemara Vare Ikfer Rois Erva. Still, there's another problem. How can he say Shema, his heel? And at this point, the Gemara is holding that any time that there's a part of the body that normally does not see the erva, the heel normally doesn't see the erva, it's prohibited to say Shema in such a situation. And it says, the Gemara, Kesavar, this Tana will hold, the Tanakam will hold, Ikfer Rois Erva's Mutter. If his, even a part of the body that normally doesn't see the erva is Mutter. Itma, says the Gemara, Ikfer Rois Erva, the heel, a part of the body that normally does not see the erva, it's mutter. It's still mutter to say Krishna in such a situation. Let's say you're not wearing socks, you can still say Shema. Negeya, but if it's touching the erva, if a part, one part of the body is not touching the erva, Shinat. why this is, Tosfos explains, this was a gzeir the Rabbanon, because we don't want any part of the body touching the erva, because we don't want the hand, which is certainly prohibited, to touch the erva when you're saying Shema. That's why you don't want anything. That's how Rav Zvid learned this Gemara. Everybody agrees that when one part of the body should not be touching the erva. Raya abaya ama aser, it's aser even by seeing. Rava ama mutner, it's mutner because leinit natar lemachal sharis. The Torah wasn't given to angels, and to be so careful that nothing that's normally covered in the body should always be 100% covered when you're saying Shema is difficulty. Vilksa, and that's the halacha negeya. One part of the body should not touch the erva, not just the hands, but any part of the body should not be touching the erva when you're saying Shema. Roya is mutter. But Taisha says Roya is mutter only for anything. That does not change the halacha of libay royas erva. The halacha that we spoke about, that libay royas erva, that there should be separation between the heart and the erva, that remains. Amar Rava, tsoya bashashas. If there is tsoya in a vessel which is transparent, muta likras krishma kenegdai. It's muta to say krishma. Why? Because tsoya depends on how you machnecha kadosh, and it's kadosh because it's a separate area. However, erva bashashas, when the erva is in a clear vessel, us likras krishma kenegdai. It's us to say krishma facing it. Explains the Gemara. Tsoy b'shashas mutal likras krishma kenegdai. When tsoy is in a transparent vessel, you're allowed to say krishma. The tsoy b'kisa tali machra milsa. But tsoy, the only thing that depends is that it should be covered up. But mechesian, here it's covered, even though it's covered by a transparent material. Erva b'shashas us likras krishma kenegdai. However, erva in a transparent vessel, it's us to say krishma facing it. Why? Because la yir b'cha erva stavar achmana. Because the Torah said you should not see a matter of nakedness. For kamas chazia, and he sees it because it's open. And that is the halacha. And that is the halacha. Tsoya depends on covering, and erva depends on seeing. What about covering? So it seems that erva doesn't require covering. That means if somebody has uncovered erva, but he cannot see it because, let's say, he's dark or because his eyes are shut, the Shulchan Aruch says he can say Shema because erva depends completely on visibility. However, the Bach and other achronim say that in erva both factors are required. It has to be covered and also has to be not visible. And the Magen Avraham says that even if the erva is not completely exposed, but let's say it's covered with a transparent material and you turn away or close your eyes, certainly it's okay because you have a covering, because we just finished saying that for tsoya any covering is enough, even transparent covering. And he turned away. This is the basis for the halacha that if somebody goes to a hospital, chas v'shalom, and somebody has a bag in which his waste and urine goes into, you could still say krishma, the very Torah there, because it's, as long as it's covered and doesn't give off a bad odor, it's fine. Amar Abaye, tzoya kalshu. If there's a minute amount of tzoya, v'vatel b'roik, he can nullify it by covering it up with saliva. Amar Rava, b'roik of it. Can't just be any saliva. It has to be phlegm. If the tzoy connected to somebody's sandal, what is the law? Teku, the Gemara remains with a shayla without an answer. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, if there's a person who serves a avodah zarah who's not wearing any clothing, os likras krishma kenegdai. One may not say krishma when he faces such a person. Ask the Gemara, my year you have a kachavim, why are you picking a person who serves avodah zarah, a fili yisrael nami? A Jew also, we said you can't say krishma facing his erva. Answers the Gemara, yisrael pshit landasr. As far as a Jew, it's obvious that it's also to say shema facing his erva. El avodah kachavim, Mr. Chalei. What we need to talk about is somebody who serves idols. Marataima. I would think, chayavik siv. Since it says regarding them, that their flesh is like the flesh of a donkey, So I would say that they're like a donkey. And just like you're allowed to say Divrei Torah when you're facing a donkey, you should be allowed to say Divrei Torah when you're facing the Erev of a Erev Kechavim. So that's what we're teaching us. That their Erev is also considered Erev, the Ksiv, because it says a pasuk by the children of Noach, Ve'ervis Aviem Leiro. They did not see the Erev of the father. Now the father wasn't a Jew, and yet he was a Ben Noach, and still he's considered, his Erev is still considered an Erev. And the Mishnah continued, V'lo Yiskasad, Shami should not cover himself, V'lo B'mei Haroim, not with foul water, V'lo B'mei Mishra, not water in which linen is soaked. Achiyatul Toichem Mayim, until he pours into them clean water. Ask the Gemara, the Kama Mai Roman Vazel, how much water does he have to pour to nullify these waters? You know, how much water does it pour? Because the Mishnah obviously is dealing with a large quantity of water. So just pouring a little water won't do the trick. So the Gemara says, you're right. This is how we have to learn the Mishnah. Hachakama. Somebody should not cover himself, not with foul water or water in which linen is soaked. Or mayriglayim. And if it's a vessel containing urine, he also has to wait before he says Shema. Achiyatul tarchamayim v'yikra. Until he puts in water to nullify it, and then he could say Shema, and we'll learn soon how much water. Tana rabbanan. Kama yitul teichen, how much water has to be poured into urine in order to nullify it so somebody could say Shema in its vicinity? So the Gemara says, kol shehu. Any small amount even. Rav Zreika says, revius. It has to be at least a revius. A revius is a revius hakav, which is anywhere between 3 to 5 ounces. Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman explains this. Machloikus b'lebsoif. The machloikus between the Tanakama and Rav Zreika is in a situation where you already have urine in the vessel, and the water is being poured on top of the urine to nullify it, and Rav Zreika requires a revius. Avet chila kol shein. If the water is being poured into a vessel where there is water already, and then you're only pouring the urine into it, kol shein. Even Rav Zreika will agree that any amount of water is enough to nullify it. Why? Because we say, kama kama bottle. That means every drop of urine, as it enters this vessel, becomes nullified in the existing water. Rav Yosef says differently. He explains the machlokes differently. Machlokes l'chatchila. The machlokes is only where there's water before the urine. If you need a drop of water or you need a revius. Aval psoif, if there's urine and now you're pouring water on it, the rehaka revius, everybody will agree you require revius. Amar Rav Yosef l'shamay, Rav Yosef said to Shamay, Aisali revius of the Maya, bring from the revius water, Rav Zakkai, like Rav Zakkai's opinion, they want to be machmal like Rav Zakkai, that he needs to nullify it with a revius. Tarabon, Rav Shorei, a pat that's used for tzoya, vabitchame reglayim, or a pat that's used for urine. Also, look at Krishna Kanagdan. It's also to say Krishna when you're facing them. Vav ben shem ben klum. Even if they're empty now, but they are considered repugnant, and it's also to say Krishna. Rashi says that this is only talking when these vessels are made out of cheres, out of earthenware, which are specifically absorbent, and therefore they cause the vessel to be repulsive even when they're empty. But other materials will not have the same halacha. What about urine itself? Until water is poured into them. The kama yatul toichamayim. How much water has to be poured into nullify? Kol shehu. Zake amar revius. The brayso continues. Bein lefnei mita, bein lachem mita. This halacha applies whether the container is in front of the bed, so there's nothing intervening between the person and the container, or whether the lachem mita is behind the bed. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Lachamita kare, if they're behind the bed, so the bed serves as a mechitza between the person and the vessel, and you can say Shema, lachamita in a kare. But in front of the bed, you can't say Shema when it's there. Ava makluk amba amas v'kairi. Yes, she's walk away 4 amas from this container, you could say krishma. Rav Shimon ben Loza Omer, afil bayis mei ami. Even a house that's 100 amas big, lo yikra ad sheyitzu mashinechem tachsimitim. You can't say it until you remove the keli from the house or you put it under the bed, because the whole house is considered one room. Iboilu. So they asked, hechi kama. What does Rav Shimon Gamliel mean? Acha mita kar biyad. When the container is behind the bed, he could say Shema immediately. Lifnei mita, but it's in front of the bed. Machak ab amas v'kari. He has to first move away. Dalat amas and say the Shema. This is what he means. Lacha mita bei machak ab amas v'kari. When it's behind the bed, he has to walk away 4 amas and then say Shema. However, lifnei mita, when it's in front of the bed, ain't a kari klal. He should not say Shema at all. Toshma will bring you proof. The Tanya of Shimon and Loza Omer. Acha mit kari miyad. Behind the bed, he could say Shema immediately. Lifnei mita, machak abba amas. In front of the mita, he could say Shema immediately. Lifnei mita, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, afil abayis mei ami, even if the house is 100 amas big, lo yikra ad sheyitzu mashinechem tachsimitim. He can't say Shema until he removes it from the house and puts him under the bed. So, now, our question is answered. Why is our question answered? Because the Braisa says that moving away Dalat Amis refers to where the container is in front of the bed. But if it's behind the bed, you could say Shema immediately. So our question is answered. However, Misnis and Kosha Adadi, we have a contradiction. In one Braisa, it says, we have a reversal of what Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Shimon Elazar say. Says the Gemara, Epech Besraisa. You should have to reverse the second Braisa and read what Rav Shimon Gamliel holds as the first view and Rav Shimon Ben Loza the second view. Ask the Gemara, My Chazad Apech Besraisa, why did you reverse the second Braisa, Epech Kamaisa? Why not reverse the first one? Answers the Gemara, Man Shamet Leidu Kulabais Kabavem Stami. Who is the one throughout Shas that says that the entire house has a locha like Dal Amis? Rav Shimon Ben Loza, he. So that's why we want to attribute when that shita of the entire house being considered like Dalat Amis from Shimon Meloza. Rashi says he doesn't know where in Shas of Shimon Meloza says the whole house is considered like Dalat Amis. On Rav Yosef, Domine Rav Huna, they asked Rav Huna, meet the Pachas Mishloisha. There is a concept in Allah of Lovid, that anything that's less than 3 tefachim is considered closed up. So if there is between the bottom of the bed and the floor less than 3 tefachim, pshitali the kalavadami, it has halacha like the bottom of the bed is extended all the way to the ground, and therefore if there is a pat with urine or tsoy under the bed, it will be considered as it's completely covered by the bed and will be fine to say Shema. Shalosh arba chamisha shisha shiva shmona tisha. If there's anywhere between 4 and 9 tefachim, ma what is halacha? Amali. So Huna answered, Layadan, I don't know. But he said, Asar Vadulam Bili, if there's 10 tefachim from the bottom of the bed to the floor and under that bed there's tsoya urine, it's certainly asar. Because that, since the bed is so high off the ground, it cannot be considered a covering of the pat. Amar Baya, Shapa Avda Delay Bailach. It's good that they didn't ask you about when it's 10 tefachim above ground, because Kol Asara, whenever something's 10 tefachim, Rishuta Achriti, it's considered a separate area, and that certainly cannot be considered an area that's covering the Tzaya. Amar Rava. So Rava says, Halacha L'mais on this Shaila, Hilchus, Pachs Mishloisha, if there's less than 3 tefachim from the bottom of the bed to the floor, and this Tzaya pat, or urine pad is there, we say Kalav Adami is considered covered. Asura, if this 10th Fakhr Rishus Achriti, it's considered separate Rishus. Bishloish Asura, from 3 to 10, Hana the Boy Minei, Rav Yosef and Rav Huna, that was the question Rav Yosef asked Rav Huna, but I partially like he didn't answer it. Omer Rav, so Rav said, Halach Rav Shimon Ben Elazar. The Halach is like Rav Shimon Ben Elazar, that you can't say Shema in an entire house if you have such a graph or a bit. The Kedam Abali, Amr of Yaakov, brother of Shmuel, Alok of Shimon Alozer, the Alok of Shimon Alozer. The Rav Amr, Rav says, and Alok of Shimon Ben Alozer. But certainly, as we said before, our bathrooms, which are in separate rooms, and the Tzoya and the Meir Glaim don't remain there. And even if they're made out of Cheres, they're glazed over with glass or other materials, certainly in a closed bathroom, the whole house would not be usher.